This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And if you're watching us on YouTube at the team 980, where we also stream all 3 hours live, you're getting a lovely pageant wave from the one and only Clinton Yates with this first Wednesday visit. What up?
How are you, Gregory? What's going on?
I'm good. I'm getting to talk about a football team that people are even happy about when they lose. So that's nice.
Very exciting stuff. I mean, I felt like that last game was about where it was supposed to be. I might call out some of my friends, and by some of my friends, I mean former caller that to another show that you know, my gambling partner Slim. He thought that the line was egregious before the game started, based on how well the Commanders were playing. It turned out to be exactly correct. So,
of course,
you know, there's sometimes a little tempering of the expectations that is always necessary. But I just had to, you know, get after him a little bit.
Yeah, 6.5. Oh, it was 7. Well, what do
it
you know?
It was 7.
It's going to be a one-score game. Well, yeah, 1 score, 7 points. Unfortunately, the extra point was good. We're actually going to take a quick swerve away from the Commanders, talk about another big NFL story, though, with Clinton, of course, the host of ESPN Daily, which is available.
Daily.
You almost missed your cue there.
I know. Thinking about other stuff.
Thinking about what we're about to talk about. Stay in the moment. Stay present. Tom Brady presently is a $300 million, I think, broadcaster for Fox Sports, who now owns 10% of the Las Vegas Raiders, which prevents him from doing a lot of things for Fox Sports. So to catch people up who might not know, the NFL owners approved Brady's minority stake in the Raiders yesterday. He is now a 10% owner, and that comes with a lot of restrictions in terms of what he can do for Fox. Production meetings, being in opposing teams' facilities, a lot of things that are very standard for game broadcasters Brady cannot do, despite the fact that he is Fox's number one color analyst, a.k.a. when they next have the Super Bowl, he will call the Super Bowl. Clinton, your thoughts on this? Let's start broad. Let's start there.
Well, I know this is a little bit wonky, and I know that talking about the business is not necessarily something that everybody likes to hear about, but this kind of stuff is important for a lot of reasons. Number one, this is his first time doing it. And that alone, just from a, and you know this, having come up in this business, just from an opportunity standpoint as an athlete, you think, okay, to step into the number one seat immediately, I understand you're Tom Brady. I understand that your collective knowledge of football that you will forget, as they say, is way more than any of us will ever know based on your achievements on the gridiron. But calling a game is still calling a game. It is a different craft. And the number one thing about this that I think of immediately is the fact that he's going to make basically more per game or per season than anybody will ever make in his career, their career that he ever works with. And like that alone as just a power balance in a work environment is really, really weird, kiddos. I'm being very serious about that. And so that's like one thing about it. But the second thing is, if he's not even going to be able to do his job, what is the NFL even thinking here? How do you allow this on either side? Because it's obviously going to affect the quality of the telecast. Like, there's so much about this that doesn't add up to me, Craig, from both a process and an endpoint standing that I just don't get. And I almost feel bad for Brady because he's in a no-win situation, but he's getting paid gobs of money to do it.
I don't feel bad because he...
You get my point. Sort of theoretically.
He should not be pursuing... Like, at some point, it comes down on him to be like, well, I'm going to do the Fox thing so I can't be a team owner, or I'm going to be a team owner so I can't do the Fox thing. Like, you don't get to have your cake and eat it too.
And no, that's fair.
Someone else, whoever's serving the cake like someone stopped giving Tom Brady cake. So there's plenty of blame to go around. But like, at what point do you just go like, hey guys, like clearly this ain't right. I don't feel good about this, as opposed to just taking money from everybody.
That's fair. There's an obvious conflict of interest. And when Mark Davis came out and said, we traded Devontae for Tom Brady, bro, Tom Brady would be better off playing quarterback for the Raiders than he would be owning the Raiders at this point, as far as anybody's entertainment quotient is concerned around that guy. And I'm sort of being funny, but I really just don't get this. And honestly, you know, look, this is a little bit personal. We all know people who work in this business who have had opportunities that they could have or maybe should have gotten passed over. And for Brady to kind of walk into the building, and this is not about what network it even is, and just sort of take over the entirety of the circumstance like that, I think it's tough. If I'm Greg Olsen, I am furious on a lot of levels. He got demoted for this. And Greg is one of those guys that was a good player. You could call him a great player. He wasn't a Hall of Famer, but he certainly knew the game and came from a lineage of football that he is good at expressing on air. And that's really what it's about in a broadcast standpoint. It's not just saying, well, I was that good and I remember when I did this. There's so many parts of this that just kind of upset me. And I'm not even a big football fan, Gregory. You know this. But seeing things develop like this when, you know, it just feels like this weird kind of stunt casting. I don't like it at all for the league.
No, it makes me furious. You know, our business is a very rapidly evolving, changing thing. And you and I, because we're actual real life friends and we talk about, like, you are one of my, just so the audience understands, like, I'm not just saying this to say this, and Clinton knows this, like, Clinton is probably my closest friend in this business. And so yes, we have a lot of chalk talks about career stuff, like really intensely personal. And sometimes that includes the finances of it. And so like to watch the way the industry is changing, and, you know, you and I have talked about, well, okay, where do I want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? And like, we both kind of got to the point where when we have those conversations, we look at each other and go, I don't know, because I don't know what the industry is going to look like in 10 years. And part of it is the money is so shifted towards former athletes. And you see, I mean, like, I'll go to your shop. I'm not going to get you in trouble, so I'll say this part. But like, Zach Lowe getting let go on the NBA stuff, right? Like, Zach, as a writer and as someone who covered the sport, did it at as high a level as anyone. And ESPN chooses to let him go and keep any number of former athletes who are good at the job on television. Like, they're good on NBA Today. But like, they chose the former athlete, you know, and not that calling games necessarily is a spot where former athletes haven't always had the upper hand, but the skew of the money, to your point, like the amount more that Brady is making every single week than the producers, the directors, the cameramen, nevertheless, Kevin Burkhart sitting next to him throughout their entire careers. Like, it's wild, the discrepancy here. And then I think to that point, imagine the person you work with that makes the most money tenfold doesn't have to do any of the work because they can't, right? Like, Brady can go watch the film, and like, he's Tom Brady, so he's going to have insight. And I actually think, like, if Fox wants to keep him and they want to put him on a desk where he's not having to go into facilities, like, Tom Brady's insights into football are worth having. But to call a specific game on a national level and do it well enough week in, week out that you are appealable to the local audiences that follow those teams every single week at diehard level, like, you have to have that kind of access. And he's not. And I think especially for a guy who is fairly fresh out of the league, who has his way of doing things, but may not have the exposure to a bunch of different coaches, a bunch of different styles, a bunch of different thought processes, where the way he solved a problem as a quarterback might be different than the way the coordinator or the quarterback on the field is. That tremendously hurts the telecast. And that's something that Fox and the NFL, to your point, should absolutely care about.
The other thing about that, Craig, is that I just kind of don't understand what you're maximizing at that point. The whole point, as you stated, is that Tom knows guys in the league. He was right there. If he can't be interacting with those people, what are you even using the value of what his actual identity is even for? That's where, and this is getting a little existential, I understand that, but, you know, never mind the dollars. Like, yo, the whole point of having a person recently out of the league is that they are clearly fresh in their minds with people that are currently in the league. If you can't interact with those people, why would you allow either one? Never mind whether or not Tom wants to do both. I just feel that it's a very sort of weird and unnecessary kneecapping of something that I guess could have been cool. I'm not going to act like I'm the type of person that would tune in to see a Tom Brady call a game, but that's just me. There's an entire nation of people from Boston to Tampa, frankly, that probably would. And I get that. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't really understand what the strategy is here. And, you know, as largely as we can, rather as specifically as we can talk about Tom, you know, I don't know how you value what one person is worth any broadcast to broadcast anyway. Like, that is above my pay grade. Sorry. To pay somebody that much money to do something that happens once a week to me is still, you know, it is what it is. There are calculations that people make, but, you know, they're not playing the games anymore. And it's just interesting to see what value people, and this is a larger discussion, but what value will NFL athletes have to the NFL after they stop playing, period, is always an interesting one. And this is a total market changer for that on a lot of levels.
For sure. And the last thing I'll just add real quick, and this is inside baseball or inside football, but it actually really matters to those of us who watch the games. Typically, the color analyst kind of runs those production meetings. I know enough play-by-play people to know that, yes, of course, there are discussions, and every team, every broadcast team does it a little bit differently. But typically, like when Kevin Burkhart was working with Greg Olsen and they sit down with the coordinators, Greg's the one asking a lot of the questions. And so now he might not be the one using all the information on the broadcast. Their sideline reporter, the play-by-play guy, they all get that information and they all might use it without
That's
Brady.
That's why you have the meeting.
Right. Right. And so if Brady's not in there to ask the questions, it becomes on, and Kevin's a really smart guy, and they've got other people that are really, really smart directors, producers, whoever, but they're not Tom freaking Brady, and none of them played in the league. And so to not be able to ask those questions of your game of the week every single week, it not only hurts Brady's ability to do his job, it literally hurts the entire team, and that is not good for the game of the week every week, nevertheless a future Super Bowl broadcast every 3 years when Fox has it. It's wild.
Wishing them well, but a tough situation.
Yeah. Clint Yates with us, of course, ESPN Daily. Real quick, before we let you go, I know there's something else that you want to talk about on the local scene here, and that is something that was highlighted in your former newspaper, The Washington Post, by Barry Sferluga, wrote a column off of something that Mike Locksley is doing. Of course, the University of Maryland coach, who has been very, very upfront, forward, and serious with his players about certain celebrations that mimic any kind of use of a firearm. And that is because Mike Locksley's son was killed in a gun violence incident. And this is something he takes very, very seriously. It's something that we've seen be an issue in the NFL with some of the finger pointing and, you know, the mimicking on what feels like more of a water gun level than an actual firearm level. But the NFL is taking it very seriously. And Locks, different versions of these celebrations have been like, no, you're not doing this here. Barry wrote about it. You read it. What did you make of what Locksley's doing?
Number one, I want to commend Barry for even highlighting this at all. I'm not going to say it's a tricky topic, but it is one that, well, quite frankly, has a lot of connections that have a lot more to do with, frankly, race and age and location than I think a lot of people want to admit. To have young black men running around doing this kind of stuff on football fields, and I don't want to sound like the oldest man in Old Manistan, but you know how you get to be an old man? Staying alive. And as somebody that grew up in 80s and 90s DC, I understand what gun violence means to a lot of people. So while, yes, I feel the need for athletes to be able to express themselves and celebrate, there is a line. And particularly at Maryland, where kids have died, and I'm referring, you know, very specifically to Jordan McNair, over situations that were sort of outside of football, but within football. Like, you just can't have this. So for Locks to step up and say, nah, I'm the adult in the room, this is not what I want with my program, I think it's very commendable. And not even on a wacky moral level, just on a basic human level, this is a good step for me. That's a team that's having an up and down season, the Terps, that is, to say best. But this is why you hire a Locks, is so that you actually have some level of a culture that alums and fans can respect, never mind what's happening from a result standpoint on the field. So my thing is, I like this a lot. It reminded me of the late great man who is the reason why I am who I am in the sports world today. That would be John Thompson. A step up move that says flat out, this is not how we run this program. Good job out of Locks.
Yeah, no, salute to Locks for doing this. The adult in the room. And I, for all of our friendship over the years, I've not heard the oldest man in Old Manistan. That's a good one. That's a good turn of phrase, Clint Yates.
Hi, I'm television's Clint Yates.
That's television's Clint Yates, and everybody. He also hosts a podcast. It's called ESPN Daily, and it is available.
Daily, sir.
Daily. More Hoffman Show next on the Team 980.
What's up, kiddos? It's your boy Clint Yates from ESPN. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Tell your mama I said what's up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.